Live from Harlem in New York City, it's The Ramble with me. I'm Alex Bennett. Hey, it's Wednesday, so therefore it must be Lori Thompson.
Hello.
How are you, Lori?
I'm doing okay. Doing A-Oak.
Yeah, she's down there in Florida. Are you having any floods or anything down there? You had an hurricane coming your way.
Oh, we had a whole lot of rain, but the rain here occurs at night quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I guess it just gets it out of the system over dark. And then the days are relatively nice. But we had a couple of big storms lately. Scary and theatrical.
Yeah, well, we had some here, and the subways flooded.
You're kidding.
There were like, you know, just what happens is the rain, the gutters overflow on the street.
Right.
And they come into the stairway on the subway and then all come down to the, and there were huge floods in the, in one subway station in particular.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, because you'd think that.
And it was coming into the cars. It was coming into the cars.
Wow. It's the apocalypse.
Yeah, it's the apocalypse.
No, it was right.
Yeah. So, anyway, so you're feeling better. You went to your doctor. He said everything's going along good.
Yeah, it's actually going, he said, better than they expected as far as the larynx.
Yeah, but tell them the great medical advice he gave you. You said to him, my throat gets a little
fatigued,
and his medical opinion was,
stop talking so much. I said, oh, is that your sage advice?
Like, I couldn't have figured that one out for myself.
Right.
You know.
The common sense. I swear that's what doctors learn as much as anything.
Yeah.
It's just common sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of am not as fond of doctors today as I once was, you know. You used to give them a lot of credit for knowing what they were doing. And
yeah.
Now they have so many fears about people suing them and this thing and that thing that they just they're very careful about everything they do.
Very conservative. Now, seeing my attitude has changed about doctors. I used to feel that way. In fact, to the extreme. Where I thought, you know, I didn't go to doctors because I thought they're overrated and, you know, they're just people with opinions and they got there was an old joke about what do you call a person who was last in their class in medical school after they passed the AMA. Doctors, that's what you call them.
Yeah, no, my answer would be chiropractors, but, you know.
Well, my cousin's a chiropractor, and so I said, Gail, level with me. What parts of what you do are legitimate and what are just money making? So he broke it down. It was about 60-40 at the time.
Oh, really?
Good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 60 proven.
Well, Marjorie keeps saying to me, you got to go to my chiropractor. Your back's bothering you. You got to go to my chiropractor. I said, the chiropractors don't do anything.
Well, yeah, really? I wonder because he, you know, he's great and he's my cousin, so I get free treatments if I want. But it's just, you know, I think all of medical science is just so it's temporary. It's what they know now.
Like, yes. Well, but what I'm saying about chiropractic, I just, you know, I went to the chiropractor once.
You did? Okay.
And I walked out and I said, Marjorie, I'm not going back to him. He said, why? And I said, because I was told once by a very good doctor who was on our show in San Francisco that if you don't get out of that office feeling just a little bit better, then don't go back to him.
Okay, yeah, that's a good rule.
You know, but there should be some element of relief. And if you don't get it, you know.
Well, have you ever tried acupuncture?
No. I'll tell you the story about acupuncture. I read a book on acupuncture once by a guy who went from the New York Times, famous writer. I can't remember his name now. And he went to China and he got really sick.
Yeah.
And they gave him acupuncture and it didn't work.
It didn't work.
And he said to them, well, you've been using this in China forever as a form of medicine. And it seems to work. He says, yes, on people who believe it.
Oh, wow.
That there was a belief on the part of Chinese people that it works. And so, therefore, yeah, it does work.
I think that is a powerful convincer of people. You know, if you believe in something, whether it's, you know, a Pentecostal faith or any kind of faith, if you have faith in something,
yeah,
you'll want it to work.
Yeah.
And so you'll see what does work.
Yeah, exactly. But it didn't work for him because he wasn't Chinese and he didn't believe in it.
That's point explained.
You know, yeah. And supposedly it did work for people who believed in it.
Yeah, well, because I had it done. We were on a cruise, and my leg, you know, my leg was bothering me. I'd sprained my right ankle really bad
the year before,
and occasionally it would still act up. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, if it's, you know, an older injury that can be just calmed down, mm-hmm, I'll go get acupuncture. I noticed a slight relief. Slight.
It might work. You know, I've never tried it, however, you know.
Yeah, I would say it worked a little bit, but the big thing is they say, this may take more than one treatment. I want one treatment.
What they said in chiropractic. Oh, you got to come back for more. And
right.
It was only like $100 a visit, but I went, I don't care. If I didn't walk out feeling better, I ain't coming back. And Marjorie still goes back to this guy all the time.
Because she believes.
She believes in her chiropractor. But, you know, I mean, I just, I don't know how long it takes to become a chiropractor, but if it takes a large amount of time, wouldn't you rather spend that in medical school?
Well, that's what I asked him as well. And he said, well, you know, this is a more holistic group that believes in chiropractic. So there you have
holistic.
It.
Do you believe in holistic? Are you into holistic?
I believe in herbs and herb therapy. I think that's effective.
You really think it's effective?
Well, yeah, I do a lot of research on herbs, and especially for the throat.
Mm-hmm.
And excuse me.
There we go. How's it working for you?
Exactly. Hang on.
Okay. Tell me if you want me to pause the recording at any time.
Pause it, would you?
Okay, I'll pause it for a second here, and we'll come right back. And now we're not paused.
All right.
People probably just noticed a slight glitch, you know.
Yeah, that's the cough glitch.
We have to do that every now and then for Lori, because she's an old lady. Anyway.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the bottom
this?
Line.
Marjorie is saying that, well, getting old sucks. It really sucks.
It does. It's not for pussies. And, like, I used to look at old people and think, I'm going to have a lot of compassion, you know, for them, because I'll be there one day.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't realize how it's going to be.
Exactly. Exactly.
It sucks.
But, you know, I mean, I'm 85, and there are all kinds of things. I mean, I always have a tissue in my hand now. Remember your grandmother always had a tissue in her hand, and you wondered why?
Yes.
I now know why.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fun getting older.
It sucks.
Yeah.
Ben, can we stop this for just a second?
Okay, we'll pause it for a second here. We just paused, and she went and got herself a Ricola,
mm-hmm,
which should help. Yeah, see? It does help, you know.
It does.
You know, you want to talk about chiropractic? You want to talk about
acupuncture?
Ricola does a better job of taking care of that cough.
It does, and sometimes it can stave it off, you know, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely. So
you feel them coming.
Okay. Well, just take it easy. Just take it easy. I'll do all the talking, okay?
Perfect.
All I need is your face there, okay?
I get to soak your wisdom.
Yeah, right. I was talking with Bubsy the other day.
Yeah, how is he?
He's fine. You know, Bubs is Bubs. You know? But I talked to him about a few things, and one of which was the one time he got really heckled. Now, you can't imagine a guy like Bubs ever being heckled, right?
Right.
It's not exactly the kind of act you heckle.
He's not controversial. He doesn't do politics.
But you just can't heckle him. So he went to do a deal at the Mitchell Brothers. Remember the Mitchell Brothers, the porn guys?
Oh, yeah. They're not still in existence?
No. The one brother killed the other. Do you remember?
Oh, I remember Artie killed. No, the other one, Jim killed Artie.
I can't remember who the other brother was. But was anyway.
Jim.
Jim killed Artie. But it was some opening of their place or something like that. They hired him to come in and do his little sketches, okay, his little comedy act. And he starts doing his act, and this guy who's drunk in the audience starts heckling him. Get off the stage. You suck.
To Bubs?
Mm-hmm. What? Do you know who it was?
No.
Hunter Thompson.
Who ended up killing himself.
Yeah. And I said to Bubs, I said, what a great thing to have in your stories of stuff.
Right.
You know, you were heckled. The only guy who ever heckled Bubs. I said, has anybody ever heckled you? He says, no, I don't really have the kind of act you heckle.
No.
You know?
Wow, but that's a great story.
Yeah, it's a great story.
Hunter Thompson, yeah, because who was it? He took his life. I always am interested in celebrities that take their life. Kate Spade, the handbag mogul, she took her life when she seemingly had it all on a plate.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes me wonder about what happened. Was it something that happened that day? Is that what prompted
people? Is it the pressure of business? You know?
Maybe.
I mean, I don't understand exactly. I agree with you. Why is it that somebody who's very successful suddenly feels compelled to kill themselves? And I don't know. I think there's a pressure with that kind of thing. But you shouldn't be unhappy about it. That's unfair to people who truly have reason to be unhappy.
Yes.
You know?
Like, you know, can't be their family, things like that.
And suicide is a very selfish act.
Yeah. I have to agree with you. And it's a hell of a legacy.
And depending on how they kill themselves is dependent upon how hostile they are about other people.
So
somebody you know commits suicide, and you walk in, and there they are, and they just blew their head off.
Or even hanging. That seems passive.
Exactly.
But their eyes bulge out. They turn purple. It's pretty gross.
Well, there was a society for people who believed in suicide if you needed it. You know, like it was, somebody once said, suicide is the best form of self-defense.
Yeah.
You know. But anyway, he told me, he wrote a book called Final Exit. Was that the name?
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah. And they said, it is wrong of you if you're going to commit suicide to do it where somebody finds your body.
Yeah, that seems rude.
Because if you want somebody to find your body, you're committing a hostile act. You're going to be dead, but you know somebody else is going to have to deal with the walking in and seeing you blew your head off or you're hanging from the rafters or whatever.
Yeah.
His suggestion was the best way to commit suicide is during the wintertime, go up as high as you can on a mountain.
And take some.
And no, just sit there. And you will freeze to death. And he said that freezing death actually is a very nice way to die. You go into kind of a la-la land, and then you freeze to death. Okay?
Yeah, I knew.
And then maybe they find you years later or something, you know. But you're not making people have to live with how you killed yourself. So
yeah, that seems like an angry way.
He said suicide in most cases is a hostile act towards other people who are going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, people want to get back.
So that may be one of the reasons why some people commit suicide.
I guess. Yeah, I guess. But yeah, Anthony Bourdain, another good example.
I never could figure that one out. What was so terrible about his life? He went all over the world to do these shows, got to eat the best food for free.
Yeah.
You know, and meet some incredible cultures, and he's unhappy?
Right. Well, I read a book about that, his demise. And what happened was he was going out with this Italian woman who didn't have a big career. She was a movie director. So she was on the rise, and they were going out, and he thought this one was true love. And so he really did everything.
Don't tell me he killed himself over a woman.
Well, not just over a woman, not romantically over a woman, but she used their romance as a vehicle for putting things in the press. Like, and she realized that he was her attention-getting device. Mm-hmm. And so she did that. She was dating other guys. You read about that. And it was basically, yeah, it was over a woman, but it was about the betrayal.
Well, my feeling is, if somebody betrayed me like that,
yeah,
fuck her.
Yeah, you're better off.
I mean, come on, kill yourself? That would only satisfy her.
Right, she was a piece of work anyway. And so, yeah, that was...
I felt bad about his death, because I so enjoyed his shows.
Yeah!
That
it was a little bit of everything. It was kind of it was a travel documentary. It was about food. It was about... It's such a unique, in its conception, if you decided, if you pitched it to somebody, they would probably say, no, too undefined.
No, I'm going to go around the world. I'm going to eat in the best food I can find and show it to people, or the weirdest food I can find and show it to people.
Right, and eat it.
And
yeah,
he will
no matter
eat
how it.
And I saw an interview with him, and I can't remember what he said was the worst, but he said he's eaten some pretty terrible stuff.
Oh, I bet.
Because he will go to some place where the best the dish of the tribe is like a human testicle or something like that, but he would try it,
And then when you're eating and you turn over a piece of meat and there's fur, not a good sign.
Not a good sign. No, you know. But I think he had the best job in the world. If I had to choose a job for myself, that would be it. I love doing documentaries. I love watching documentaries. But I'd love doing them and to do them and to be able to then travel all over the world and eat some of the finest food in those parts of the world is just...
Yeah.
So what did you kill yourself for? I didn't feel sorry for him,
Well, he also... pardon me, struggled with addiction throughout his life. And so I think that was kind of unresolved and came bubbling up.
So we all get addicted. Big deal,
Right. The biggest addiction, breath. After you take that initial one, you try to get along without it.
I mean, in my big days when I was doing a lot of coke, not that I don't do some now, but a lot of coke... I don't think I ever thought about killing myself.
No.
How bad does your addiction have to be that you commit suicide?
Yeah, that sounds pretty extreme. Unless you're just so self-loathing, unless your self-loathing reaches such a despairing point that you just, your self-esteem is gone and you don't ever see it coming back. Then I can understand.
Yeah. Well, you had your drug days and you had your days when you were depressed. Did you ever think about killing yourself?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
But what prevented you from doing it?
My father's mother killed herself, and so did two of her brothers and sisters. And it's, as my dad said, it's a hell of a legacy. Once you know that there's suicide in your family, it's always a possibility.
It's always a possibility,
In the back of your mind.
Yeah.
But
I even as depressed as I've gotten in my lifetime, I never considered suicide because I'm afraid of death.
Yeah. Oh, well, that explains it.
You can't commit suicide and be afraid of death.
Yeah.
You almost have to look at death as being a relief.
That's what I do look at it as.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And what would your heaven be like if you believed in heaven?
If I believed in heaven? I believe the Islamic version is fine with me. The virgins, the 21 virgins or something like that. You know, and that would be heaven for me. And that, yeah. Not virgins. I'm sorry. I would want 21 experienced women. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
At your service.
Yeah, because who wants a bunch of virgins? You know, well, what do I do now? Well, nah, I don't want to have to teach you, you know?
Well, maybe you should have a handout ready and just give it to each one, you know, kind of a little tutorial.
I mean,
that way they don't.
Everybody said to me, are you ever interested in virgins? And I said, no, because they just don't know what they're doing. You're teaching them.
Right, but they are very
overzealous. I want a person who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, who has some chutzpah and can, you know, put vigor behind it.
I had this one woman that came on to me. You know, knew her, and I'm not going to mention her now.
But, oh, will you tell me?
But she kept telling me she kept coming on to me, and she came over to my place a lot and hung out and wanted to have sex with me. And she was like, I don't know, she was 18. But I figured she just seemed like she was still a virgin. And one night she told me that she wasn't a virgin, that she had had sex before. And boy, I was all over her. You know? But I didn't want a virgin. You know, I didn't want somebody that I would have to teach it to. And I really don't want to be responsible for being that first sexual encounter.
That's it, man. It's a huge responsibility. And you know that you're going to be significant in that person's life. And so there's pressure on you to make it fabulous.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that's understandable.
Anyway, so, I mean, I did have one woman who lied to me about her age.
What do you mean? She was a minor?
Yeah, she was 17.
Oh, wow.
And she told me she was 18.
Now, is that... If that's the condition, then that's not actionable, is it?
Well, sure it is. They can lie to hell. You know, the trouble is, the guy is usually the guy who used to get it for what they call sexual
delinquency of a minor.
Well, whatever, you know. And it's here's this is true in California. The law was you couldn't have sex with a female who was a minor.
Yeah.
Even if you were younger than she was.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you were...
Yeah, and 50, I always felt that was sexist.
I think it's sexist.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't think the law exists anymore, but boy, that always got to me, you know?
That's
I mean,
crazy.
If she's like 17 and you're 16, you know, there shouldn't be a problem there, but... There was.
Yeah, that's
and it was
insane.
Always the guy who was in trouble. So I found out that I thought she was 18. She kept telling me she was 18. I should have known that because she worked at McDonald's. That was a hint. And that whenever we would watch a National Geographic special, she'd look at the screen and go, kitties. Finally one day she told me she was 17, but that she was going to be 18 in about a week.
Yeah.
First thing I did was call my lawyer.
Mr. Laverney.
Yeah, he said it's so close that you wouldn't get in trouble for it at this point. But
that's
I
good.
Felt bad about it because I didn't want to have sex with a minor. And she
lied
to me. And I had another woman in my life who lied to me, who said she was 18. This is years ago in New York. And it turned out she was 14.
Oh, my Lord.
But she looked, you know, she looked mature.
Yeah, and that's entrapment.
And when she finally told me, I just said, well, I think the world of you, and I enjoyed my time with you, but let's forget it, you know.
Yeah.
I felt somewhat betrayed because...
By her.
And there were guys who, you know, went to jail and stuff because they had sex with a girl that young. And if they were lied to and they had the presence of looking like they were 18... I mean, what do I have to do? I have to ask for identification, and I have to... Two forms of identification before I'll have sex with you.
Your credit card doesn't count. I think that's a deception on her part, and that should be definitely taken into consideration.
Well, I didn't like the fact that she deceived me. You know,
that's a setup.
You know, but she looked, I swear to you, if you saw her back then, you would say, oh, she's got to be 18. She looks fine. She's, you know.
Yeah, there are so many women who could just pass.
They can pull it off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she did.
But that's entrapment almost to me.
I think there should be a law against it, but against the woman.
Yeah, against misrepresenting your age.
Yeah, because I have no desire to have sex with anybody who's underage. So if you lie to me, then you're putting me in a position where I've been doing something I didn't want to do.
Right, yeah. You've been compromised, and that would be entrapment, I think.
Yeah, but I never wanted really young women. I fell in love with a young woman for about 11 years. But I was very smitten by her, you know.
She was great. Yeah.
Yeah, she was. She was. We broke up 11 times in 11 years, but, you know.
I think that's the way with passionate.
Hey, I just noticed with all my confessions of having sex with younger women, don't think badly of me, folks. I wouldn't have had I known.
Okay? Exactly. It was unknowing. He was unaware.
But we've kind of run over time here, I noticed, by about a minute at least.
With my cough breaks?
With your cough breaks. Even with the cough breaks, you know, we're fine. That's Lori Thompson, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk to you next week, okay, Lori?
Sounds great.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lori Thompson. Mm-hmm.
Now, in its 11th year, this is GabNet. Talk like you've never heard it before.
Yes, thank you very much, Lori. A little out of sync there, I noticed. But anyway, we had to stop that every now and then because she was coughing a lot today. Yeah, but she's getting better. By measures, she's getting better. Usually we do two at a time, but this time we only did one, and we'll do another one next week. Anyway, we love her. We love her. And confessions about my sex life, I don't care anymore. You know, my age, what? You want to? Yeah. I mean, some of those stories I told happened 50 years ago. Yeah, easily 50 years ago. So, anyway, I guess I could still be arrested. I don't know. But anyway, there's another thing. I want to know if anybody, you can write me about this if you want to. Marjorie hates this. She doesn't like the kind of Van Dyke that I've got here. She doesn't like it. I don't know if I'm going to do about it. But I may cut it down a little bit, just cut this so it's, doesn't come to a point. Although I feel a little bit like I think Letterman did when he grew his beard. He did it to piss off his wife. So, I don't know. What the hell? Anyway, let's bring in these people here. There are only three of them waiting right now. But so, no big deal. Okay, here we go. There's Jeff. And I think you're fine, Jeff. Jeff, yeah. I think you're fine. Yeah. You always look like you don't think you're doing it right, but
There's some junk I got to get rid of.
You got to get rid of. Okay. Anyway, hello. Where is Kevin? Kevin, I guess you're still. You're still in California, right?
Yeah,
Kevin. Yeah. Why does that background look different?
It's furniture from my bedroom. We're having the carpets replaced, so I got furniture in every room except the bedroom. Including the bathroom, the hallway, not even in the hallway.
Okay, so that's furniture from the bedroom. What particular piece of furniture is that?
That is my headboard and footboard for the bed.
Oh, okay. All right. Very nice. And hello.
I had to tie it together so it doesn't fall over and crush me.
Yeah. Hello to Charlie. How are you, Charlie?
Hi. Doing pretty good.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, boy, is it hot here today. Oh, God.
Hey, you guys are getting nailed out there, huh? Marjorie
and I went for a walk today to the grocery store. Okay. I swear to you, it was horrible. It was just,
So you're getting the rain as well?
We got rain. We had a lot of rain.
I saw all the subways getting washed out.
Yeah, but that was like one subway station, I think.
Okay.
Here's what happened. I had that happen. I mentioned it on with Lori. I had that happen a few years ago where we got out of a movie, and all of a sudden it just decided to downpour, just this torrential downpour. And it was so bad that when we went to the subway to get the subway train, all the water was going down the stairs. And that's exactly what happened here. You know, the gutters overflowed, and then they flowed down the stairs to the subway, and the subway suddenly got this ton of people, you know, so
giving the rats a place to swim.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's been it hasn't been good here, but the heat has been ridiculous.
Well, yeah, when you mix it with all that moisture, it just gets nasty.
I think tomorrow it's supposed to be, you know, they have this thing, feels like.
Yeah.
And they were reporting feels like of 101.
Feels like hell.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been in Chicago where I went to hazardous materials emergency response training in Chicago in 1997, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 98 degrees and 97 humidity.
No.
And I had to suit up in a hazmat suit and
well,
SCBAs
humidity,
and everything else.
97, excuse me, folks, I have allergies.
You can eat the air.
There's something in this apartment that's just dust or something. Anyway, but 97% humidity, wouldn't that be rain?
Pretty damn close.
Yeah.
I mean, you could chew the air.
Really? Okay. Because actually,
I jumped in the pool and I didn't even know it.
Because Marjorie says, oh, you know, we're going to have like 79% humidity. I said, well, if it rains, it's going to be 100% humidity. Am I right or am I wrong?
I don't think that's true. Is it? Yeah. You'd know, Charlie. It's not necessarily 100% humidity when it rains.
No, because the rain could be coming from up higher in the sky,
right,
where it is 100% humidity, and it could be drier down by the land.
Yeah, it's like Verve. It rains up there, and it doesn't hit the ground.
Oh, okay. All right.
They call it Verve.
They call it Verve?
Verve.
Whoever
it's when it rains. It does it out in the desert a lot. It'll rain up high, and then but it evaporates by the time it hits the ground.
Yeah. Well,
but it's humidity. It's humidity as hell.
Yeah, here comes Alan.
Humid as hell.
Here comes Alan. And I'm sure he'll have an opinion on everything. So there we go. There's Alan. Hello there, Alan.
How are you doing?
How's your humidity?
How's your humidity?
It's humid in the Bay Area, isn't it?
Is it?
I guess a little bit. Why?
How humid did I remember it getting in the Bay Area? Not a lot.
Not a lot.
It does every once in a while.
Yeah, I went out today for a little bit, and I noticed that it was, you know, in the low 70s, but the humidity was up around 50%. I thought, wow, it's usually around 40 here in Fremont, but.
Yeah, but, you know, in San Francisco, the humidity is.
A lot more.
No, actually, no. San Francisco doesn't get a lot of humidity because it gets a lot of fog. That could be considered humidity of sorts.
Sure.
But I didn't remember ever getting too terribly humid in San Francisco. But in fact, I don't ever remember getting really hot. Some days we would get up to 85, maybe something like that. But that was very rare.
Yeah, we're hitting 90s easy nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin's right. Getting up there.
Up in the city. That's what I'm talking about. Up in the city.
Wow. You know, I have come to a theory, and maybe Charlie would agree with me on this, that nature is a sentient being. That it actually is sentient. It's just not on a level where we're sentient. So we have a hard time communicating with it. But it's trying to communicate with us right now and saying, screw all of y'all.
That's right. They're saying, we're going to punish you for voting Donald Trump in.
Did you have to bring that up?
Absolutely.
Did you have to bring that up? Your only punchline to any joke is Donald Trump.
wasn't a joke. It was a statement you were making.
Oh, boy. Yeah, yeah.
Anybody have 10 minutes?
Bring it up, you're going to bring it up sometime during the show. So.
Well, now I'm forced to.
No, you're not. You can just say maybe it is.
I'm forced to. Okay.
Yeah, look at the humidity they brought to Texas. In the sense of floods.
Well, that isn't humidity, though.
No, that's Trump. I'm kidding.
Oh, no, wait.
You take me too serious sometimes.
I mean, I was going to talk about Trump tonight because it's just gotten to the point where he is such a moron.
Yeah, I'm just flabbergasted. I know he's losing it.
Did you hear the latest thing? He was giving a speech at some, I know, scientific conference.
Oh, my God.
And he talked about his uncle, John Trump or something, who taught at Harvard. And he said, he taught Ted Kaczynski. He died before Ted Kaczynski even started going to school. I mean, just ridiculous stuff like that. Saying that he was this kind of scholar and that kind of scholar. Turns out he wasn't any of those things. I mean, he had certain specialties, but not in the area that Trump was talking about. He just, there's stuff he says that's absolutely moronic.
Well, what's his teachers have to do with Ted Kaczynski as a kid?
No, that was his uncle was a teacher.
I got
at
that.
At Harvard, and he said, oh, he's really smart and all of that, and he taught Ted Kaczynski. I went.
Well, hopefully at, age 7 at Harvard. Oh, at Harvard, sorry. Ted Kaczynski would have been an adult. I think that he was really smart at making bombs.
Yeah.
I just don't know where to go with this. This uncle, this...
No, but, I mean, really just smart. Everything he says is just absolutely beyond... It's just stupid.
Right.
It's just totally unintelligent. And if our former president had certain mental problems, they don't compare with this guy now.
No, that's for sure.
You know? It's amazing.
I find it interesting that, I hate to bring her name up either, too, but Marjorie Taylor Greene last week or 2 weeks ago wanted it to make it a felony if you try and change the weather. who can do that?
How about the president of the United States saying he's looking into Rosie O'Donnell and her citizenship and doing away with her citizenship.
Oh, that's bullshit, too. I mean, I heard...
Well, number one, you can't do that. She was born here. She was raised here. Her parents
are from here.
Yeah. I mean, why? You know why he says these things? I'm sure this is why he says things. We want to know more about who's the guy?
Epstein.
Epstein stuff, okay? And then he will go, well, I want to take back Rosie O'Donnell's citizenship. And he's hoping that will deflect the discussion over into that.
Squirrel.
Yep. And in a lot of cases, the press follows him right along. I mean, let's face it, the Kaczynski thing is looking pretty bad for him, I mean, come on, Epstein.
Epstein. What Kaczynski has nothing to do.
No, not Kaczynski. Epstein. We're talking
you
about
said
Epstein.
Kaczynski. You meant
Epstein. Did I say Kaczynski?
That's fine. We know.
Epstein. He keeps just absolutely complaining. Oh, that's who's talking about that guy?
I've heard it.
Well, we are.
Okay. Yeah, the American public is concerned about him. That's who. people that you represent. Oh, wait a minute. You don't really represent anybody.
Well, the question, the real good question here is, did you know, to begin with, there was a great thing on the Daily Show yesterday where they did a whole thing about Trump's relationship with Epstein and the fact that Epstein introduced him to Melania. And the first time they ever had sex was in his plane.
Wasn't Melania a little old? I mean, I thought Epstein was doing seven-year-olds.
Well, but Epstein, this was just Epstein introducing him to somebody he thought he might be interested in. And, okay, of course, she was a Slavic woman who, you know, every woman he ever married, a couple of them were Slavic.
They've all been beautiful.
And they're all beautiful, too. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
You know, but he said he had sex. The first time he had sex with Melania was in his jet. And I'm going, okay.
The 1 mile.
All right. And we're supposed to think he didn't have anything to do with Epstein.
Right. I saw an interview with I forgot his name. O'Donnell, I think his name is. He was the COO at the casino. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's been saying that he has no knowledge, or he only knew him for a few years, and now he's, you know, he never has any kind of relationship with him or whatever before he passed or whatever, you know, before he got offed. But the guy said he wrote a book on this. It was called Trumped, I think, the real story behind the casinos and all that. But he said one day that he was with Epstein coming through the casino at 1:30 in the morning. They flew in the helicopter,
mm-hmm,
and they had three or four girls on each arm. And one of the guys in the casino said, I know that girl is 19 years old and she's in the casino. And then one of the, government watch guys came over and said, you need to either tell him to get out or he's going to have his casino shut down. So he had to call Trump and basically, you know, bash him on the phone and say, you're really screwing up here. They're giving you a break. You better get out of here.
Mm.
Straight up, 19-year-old. She was a old femme tennis player, apparently.
Well, I mean,
you know, this is the kind of shit that he did, that he sits there and says he never had anything to do with it.
Yeah, well,
it's just a witch hunt by the Democrats.
Most casinos have a lot of cameras.
I got to tell you, he had a situation where, you know, Roy Cohn taught him everything that he knows. And the one thing Roy Cohn told him, don't ever admit to anything.
Right.
Correct.
You know, deny, 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 deny.
I saw that documentary.
And when you deny, when in the process of denying, occasionally sue.
Yeah.
You know.
It really makes you look good.
Yeah. Well, you know, that can only work so far. You know, that was then and this is now. But there's a whole bunch of people out there who believe him. I'm sure.
Roy Cohn was a class act.
What was unclassy about him?
I said he was a class act, and then I'm shaking my head. No, I'm being sarcastic.
Roy Cohn
was a mess on his own.
Listen, you know, I have met Roy Cohn face to face. I had a debate with him on a radio show. Barry Farber had a radio show here in New York, and he was friends with Roy Cohn, so he said, come on the show. Why don't you debate Roy Cohn? So I went, okay. You mean the guy that killed the Rosenbergs? You know? And I went, and this guy was sitting right here, you know, right next to me, face to face, and he had these shark eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I looked at him, and I said to myself, I don't know what the devil looks like, but I bet if I ever met him, he would look just like this.
Right.
Didn't Farber run for governor or mayor?
I think something like that, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, it was amazing. It was just amazing how much he,
scary.
Yeah, he was scary. It was just... I go, how do you feel at the fact that you got the Rosenbergs executed. And he went, oh, I feel just fine about that. And he looked straight at me, these dead shark eyes looking at me.
Yeah.
And went, whoa. You know. I never forget that, by the way. That's one of the things in my life I never, ever forget. I can't forget the feeling.
I know the feeling. I can't name the people that have done it to me, but I've interviewed people that have done some pretty heinous crimes.
Heinous crimes.
And you can just, by looking in their eyes, they got dead eyes is what we call it. Yeah. You can just tell that this guy is one scary dude.
Yeah, and that was the case of Roy Cohn. And this was the guy that was the teacher for Donald Trump. You know, he taught him everything. Deny. Never admit you did anything. Okay? And if you do it enough times, people will believe it. You know? So, yeah. It's just amazing.
And who else did that as well? Mr. Stone.
Well, Stone was a big fan of Roy Cohn.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. And who else was he a fan of? Who did he have on his back? Big tattoo? What, Nixon?
Tricky Dick.
Yeah. Yeah. What happened to him? Why is he, Roger Stone, have anybody heard from him lately?
No.
Yeah.
He's probably on a fishing boat somewhere.
But now the big thing that's happening is a lot of people, a lot of MAGA people and a lot of Republicans are starting to turn against Trump.
Yep.
I think they're beginning to see that the emperor isn't wearing any clothes and that, you know, they can say so. And I think a lot of them, you know, I was telling Marjorie, with the coming primaries, if he tries to primary anybody by backing the, you know, the other guy because he doesn't like that senator or that congressman and he's out to get him because of the way he's handled this whole Epstein thing.
Right.
And all he needs is one major loss that will turn, like, the Senate towards the Democrats. And all he needs is one loss and the... Every Republican is going to desert him like crazy because all of a sudden they'll realize he doesn't carry any weight, you know. And he's just not the, you know. But he just keeps threatening people and he keeps, oh, it's just horrible. Just
and terrible. The good thing is Roger Stone lives in a state that nobody ever wants to go to, Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
Just Google Thank it. You. Sorry, Jeff. Sorry, just teasing Jeff. Yeah, he lives in Norwalk, Connecticut.
Who's Stone?
Stone, and he's worth $215 million.
Why?
That's more than me. How's that possible?
How do you get $215 million? Doing what?
I don't know. Oh, I'm sorry. $212 million. I don't know. Doing what? Doing what he does best. You know,
hold on a second. Echo? How much, Echo, how much is Roger Stone worth?
Roger Stone is worth an estimated
$50,000.
$50,000.
How's that? Well, Wikipedia told me something different just now.
Well, this is, I asked Roger Stone and they said, you know, Roger Stone.
They're not going to even keep track of $50,000. That's, you know, that's a controller in Texas's wages for a year.
Yeah, well, anyway, but...
Somebody should buy him some coffee.
Yeah, I can look it up here and
it's
see.
It's okay.
You know.
It doesn't matter. It just says he's worth a lot of money, so...
Well, $50,000?
No.
You're worth more than
but
that.
But they're not going to... Yeah, I'm worth more than that. So are you. You know, but you know, I don't know why they would keep track of that.
Hmm.
I mean, that's such a small amount in today's...
Wait a minute. Let me just ask here. How much is? Let me see here. How much is Roger Stone worth? Net worth and insider training. Trading. Well, it says he's is at net worth of at least $112 million.
There you are.
That's what it says on Guru Focus, I think.
It's a big difference between who the hell knows really what he's worth. But these are all these net worth things are a guess. You never really know, you know?
Yeah, but 112 million. I don't know where he got. Right,
that's a big difference
million.
Between that and 50,000. So
yeah, I don't know where he got 112 million, but
I don't know
what the hell.
Yeah, and insider trading stock stuff, doing illegal stock stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, and then let's see here. Also, let's see here. What I read he was going to do. He was going to. He was going to. Put high tariffs on pharmaceuticals, but he's going to wait a year and give the pharmaceutical companies a chance to make their drugs here.
Yeah, you know, 90% of the drugs come out of Taiwan and India. That just look on the packages that you get your drugs and see where they come from. Yeah, they're all going to move here because Trump says so.
Well, no, I mean, people like, you know, some of the drug people, companies from America,
right?
They're not going to suddenly. They can't suddenly ramp up to make a lot of those drugs.
My inhalers by an American company. It's made by Johnson & Johnson, but it's not made in America.
Right, right. I wish I had some of my drugs here. I'd tell you what mine were. You know,
right. So we all know that the drugs aren't being made here. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm waiting for the iPhone 17 to come out. I'm worried about if it's going to be a $30,000 phone or not.
No, it's not going to be.
With all the tariffs, I don't mind an extra couple hundred dollars. I'll get it anyhow. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is when people the tariffs are going to finally set in probably end of August. And when that happens, there's going to be a person in America who likes Donald Trump. Yeah. You know, he'll be the guy who ruined the American economy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's, you know.
The stock market went up pretty good today, but he said that he's not going to fire the head of the
Fed. It didn't go up pretty well. It went up okay, but it wasn't much higher last week.
But you notice this morning before when they were all scrambling around saying that he was going to get fired and that he already wrote the termination letter, the stock dropped like a rock.
But who, right?
For about 2 hours. And then by the time they had the press conference and he said no, it went right back up. It was sickening.
Yes. But my question is, how many of his friends in the meantime made a ton of money knowing that he was going to do that and the price was going to go down and then they could buy low?
The first thing I thought of.
Yeah.
I think I have always thought that I think a lot of these tariffs are stock manipulation. He tells all his friends, I'm going to announce 30% stock manipulation on Mexico, and if you got a company there, you know, sell it now. I'll make the announcement. It'll drop in half, theoretically. It'll just drop in half. And then in 3 days or a week, I'll announce that we made a deal, and it's going to go skyrocket. So you want to buy it low, sell it high.
Well, I think he's manipulating the stock market. What happened today is exactly that. I mean, he said whatever he said about, you know.
Just what Kevin said.
He said he was going to get terminated, and he had the termination letter, and the news was scrambling to get the
stock just absolutely dipped. Yes. All his friends went out, bought stock at that dip.
Yep.
Okay. Then an hour later, he says, no, I'm not going to fire him. The whole thing goes back up again, and his friends make money.
Yep. And see, stock, you know, if you remember, how many...
What were you going to say?
Go ahead, Kevin.
I was going to say, I remember us having the conversation back in his first term about how we all thought that he doesn't affect the stock market. Mm. And he kept trying to do it then, and it didn't affect the stock market. Now it is.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that he says, you know, it affects the stock market.
Yeah.
And he knows it now. So he's manipulated that shit, and he's got people out there, just like you're saying, that,
Well, you know, Alex, you and I are the only two that have kind of talked about our stock assets. We're not talking in dollars and cents here, but we both were talking last week that we've made a lot of money since he's been in office.
I haven't made a lot of money. I mean,
I haven't made any money. I haven't sold anything, but it's my stock portfolio's gone up about 15%.
Mine hasn't.
Well, yours went up. You said that you were
on the up last week. It hit a high, real high.
There you go.
And but it didn't stay there because then he opened up his big fat goddamn mouth.
I'll bet you if you look at your Fidelity account that
my business manager said to me, "You have the same amount of money you had when we started a year ago." And I said, "But I've spent like a lot of money." And he went,
"Well, you know, a lot of money out of $7 billion is no big deal."
Yeah, I have $7 billion. Yeah.
My stock portfolio was going to be my retirement. But then I ended up selling some property, paying the taxes, and that was a much better choice. And now I still got a stock portfolio, and I hate to say this, I really don't need to sell it and pay taxes on it right now. It's a nest egg that I'll just keep around if he doesn't.
Well, I'm glad for you, but at my age, I got to start spending this money, and I haven't been spending it.
Good. You should. Good. You should enjoy the money.
And I don't have anybody to leave it to. I don't have any kids. I don't have any relatives.
I'm in the same boat. Well, I have relatives, but I don't have any kids. So.
Yeah. Well, you might want to leave them to some of your relatives, you know, if you like them.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't like them, then screw them. You know.
Yeah. I hope I spelled Schwarzman right, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. In your will, you mean?
Right,
yeah, okay. Well, Shecky didn't. He actually gave it to Alex Bennett, so I had to prove I was Alex Bennett.
Oh, really? That's
cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made you work for it.
You don't have to pay taxes on that. Not in California, at least.
I don't understand about what I pay taxes on and don't pay. No, I don't pay taxes on it. But we put all that into stocks, so now if I want to take money out from there, do I have to, like he left me, you know, a certain amount of money, do I have to use that amount of money first before I have to pay on it, or what? What do I pay on?
And so say he left you $500,000.
Okay.
You bought and you turned that $500,000 into stock.
Yeah.
If the stock has gone up 10%, you're only going to pay the difference between in that 10% in taxes.
I see. Okay.
Because the other part, the $500,000, is called your basis.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I was wondering about that because I thought, did I suddenly go and put it into stock and all of a sudden I'm going to get taxed on all of it? You know, but no, it's not true.
No, and if some of it is paying dividends and interest each year, they'll send you a statement. You got to pay taxes on some of that. But, it's just like you took $500,000 out of a bank account if you had that. And put it into the stock market.
Okay.
Well,
anyway, let's not talk about money because there are a lot of people that don't have it and they're listening to us and I don't want them to feel bad.
Well, if they send us a list, we can send them some money.
Yeah, we're giving away money here on GabNet.
Alex Bennett Philanthropy Fund.
Well, it's GabNet Bucks, we call them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go.
And there. Yeah. So let me ask you, Kevin, you're still looking at that. What's happening with the houses up in Oregon?
Yeah, everything's in limbo.
Everything's in limbo? Oh.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about this the other night privately, and it has not been a pleasant situation for you.
No.
You know.
I don't know when home buying is ever a pleasant situation.
Marjorie sold
being
hers.
That I've only bought two homes in my life, and this will be the second.
Marjorie sold her apartment, and which is a condo, and she sold it, and it's taking forever for it to go through, you know? Mm-hmm. And she said, it'll close by the end of August. And I'm going, what? You know, didn't this person say like 2 months ago they were buying it? And she said, yeah. You know.
You know the scary
thing. That was easier than keeping it, where you got to, every time somebody wants to leave, okay, you got to then clean the place up again. You got to get it back into shape again. Mm-hmm. You got to do this. You got to do that. And then they come in and they rent it for 2 years, and then they leave, and you got to clean it again. So she thought, well, I'll sell it. Well, selling it is almost as much of a pain in the ass.
I'll tell you it is, because until that loan and all the documents close escrow, the people can back out and the whole deal can go into the toilet. And that's why I hate dealing with real estate. I got rid of all my duplexes and condos in Oregon, not because anything was bad about Oregon, because I still own an apartment building there. But it just is what it is. You don't want to move to Portland, huh, Kevin? I mean, I got a couple vacant units. So.
No, I was up that way a couple weeks ago.
It's a pretty nice neighborhood. You could probably fire off a gun and nobody would care.
Yeah, it's a little too busy for me up there.
Yeah, where you're moving, you wanted to move, Kevin. Are there bears up there?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I have a bear that comes by my house.
There's a bear that comes by your
Connecticut?
House?
Right.
I mean, we've looked at places that have bears, yeah.
What
I'm looking at now is not.
Well, there was a great story about David Letterman. He had a place in Montana. And one night,
you're going to have grizzly bears.
He says he heard a noise downstairs. And he goes down, and there's this bear in his kitchen just tearing it apart.
He's hungry.
And he kept trying to get the bear out of the house, and the bear wouldn't leave.
Nope.
That's a fight you're not going to win. Open the door. Watching. Open the door. Go to McDonald's. Get some burgers and throw them out on the front porch.
Yeah, well, he
pray that the bear doesn't knock a window in.
I think
the
story was that he called a friend, and a friend said, "Well, just don't do anything. The bear will eventually leave." And the bear did eventually leave, but the house was a mess. It was just torn. He said he took a refrigerator and bent it in half. You know,
and, you know, that's a bear that I don't want to go. Come on, bear. I'm not tangling with it. I'll tangle with it with a shotgun with a slug in it.
Yeah, well, bears are pretty dangerous.
They get into people's cars like in Yellowstone. Well,
let Charlie talk for a second here.
Oh,
hi, Charlie.
Hi. I don't like bears.
Yeah.
No. Unless it's the Chicago Bears, maybe.
No, I mean, you look at videos and films of bears, and you go, "Oh, that's so cute! Look at the bear." If you want to see a movie about bears, just go see the movie Grizzly Man.
Yeah,
which is a documentary about a guy who went out to the wilds. He loved the bears, and he went out there to live with the bears. And you know what happened? One day, they found him as excrement.
Yeah.
As bear excrement.
Bears ate him.
The bear ate him.
Yeah.
And after watching this movie, I got to hate the guy because he was so, you know, bears have dignity. And he had no sense of dignity for the bears. He gave them names, you know.
You know, they didn't like that because he was a Republican. Said, "Oh, he looks like..."
No. Let's not get into that as the punchline of the joke.
And one
again.
Bear says, "The other bear, how's he taste?" And the other bear says, "It needs garlic."
Oh boy. Anyway, so Charlie,
bears are dangerous.
Can I talk to Charlie? Do you mind?
He's not talking back to you. Go ahead.
It's because you're jumping in all the time.
Oh, sorry. Talk to Charlie.
Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Alex.
You're at your girlfriend's house again tonight. I can tell by the curtains in the back.
Yep.
Does she listen to any of this at all?
Oh, she's sitting right here.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is she enjoying it?
I don't know. She likes Amy's show better, I think.
Yeah. Whoa.
No, I don't.
That was a low kick.
I'd take that back. She says she loves hearing you guys, so.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. We love hearing us guys, too. Alan loves hearing him. So, you know. But anyway, so how, what's been happening there in Texas? Has it been, you got any more floods going?
Actually, we actually gone 3 days without any rain. I can't believe it.
Because they said the Guadalupe could flood over again.
Yeah, all it takes is another rainstorm. The ground is just completely saturated.
Didn't they like 20 years ago
will
have
you
a,
let
a,
me talk to him? Anyway, Charlie, what I was going to say was they said that the Guadalupe has a tendency to do that, and why anybody would build anything close to the banks of it is rather insane.
It really is.
Although, has there been anything this bad in recent years?
Not this bad. It's never been anything this bad, but we had a big flood in 87, I believe it was, and where a bunch of people died. And,
is anybody blaming your governor for the way it turned out?
They should, because he refused to take money that... to build some kind of warning system for these people, and we weren't going to take Democratic money. So
we're not going to take Democratic money?
Yeah, because that was when Obama was president.
Oh, I see. And okay. So I heard it. This was something really amazing about Trump. I heard him. Who was it? What was it in reference to? But he was blaming as far back as Obama.
Yeah.
Oh, Clinton.
Clinton.
And I think he's also making a big deal about, well, Clinton was friends with, what's his name? With
Epstein.
You know, it's funny because I heard Barack and Michelle in a quick little interview tonight, and it was so nice to hear his voice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So calming, so intelligent, so... It was just nice to listen to his voice. I went, where the hell is that guy? Why doesn't he rerun again?
Once
Trump takes care of that two-term thing, he can come back.
He can't do it. But, you know, I mean, it was just...
Trump will fix
I hear him, and I go, you know... Pretty smart.
Talk
guy.
About class.
Yeah.
Class.
Yeah.
Holy class.
And he really doesn't want to diss Trump because ex presidents don't like to diss.
No.
The current president.
But he will.
But he has because he can't stand
has
it.
To.
He
Good
can't
for him.
Stand it.
You can sit there and say you're not going to do it for so long, and then it's got to get to you sooner or later, and you just say screw it.
H.W.
Bush. This Trump, he said, at my funeral, you're not invited. Don't come.
Wow.
Nice.
I think that was a while back, actually, if I remember
correctly. Well, he died in sometime.
Oh, you mean that Bush. That Bush.
Oh, yeah. H.W. Bush.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So he probably went. Did he? I don't remember.
He didn't go.
He didn't go.
No.
I would have thought he would have gone just to...
No, George W. Bush and Barack Obama spoke. And there was no Trump in the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody wants him to show up for anything.
A Fox News interviewed H.W. Bush, who was getting up there in years.
Yeah.
But he still had his mind, still sharp. And they interviewed him and said, what do you think about Trump becoming president? And he said, prepare the world for bad news. His exact words.
And he was so right.
No, oh, yeah, he was so right. He was a smart guy, too, H.W. Bush.
Well, I know that he was that smart. But he was, you know. I mean, we've had a couple of smart presidents. Obama was very smart.
Very,
yeah. You know. Clinton was very, very smart.
Yeah.
You listen to either one of them talk at a pulpit or something like that. You know they're well educated and can speak great.
They give a good speech.
You listen to Trump and he's like, you know, and I'm like, you know, it's like, what are you trying to say, Donald? You know, did your Pampers leak again or something? I don't know.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, he it can't get through 10 minutes without mentioning our former president.
Yeah.
You know, and talking about he's responsible for everything.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. It's your turn now to be responsible for everything.
Absolutely. You know? He doesn't take responsibility for the good and the bad.
Yeah, but I just don't. You know, I come on here just before I'm going to go on the air, and I say, today's the day I'm going to really blast Trump. And it's just so difficult for me to do it emotionally.
You might ask it to kick you out of the country.
No, because he is so stupid that it's beyond even being able to say how bad it is. But, I mean, this was a guy who has no brains at all. And he was elected by a country, basically, that doesn't have any brains either.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I got to tell you, I've never been a big fan of America all my life. Because I haven't liked what they did. First, I didn't like what they did when I was younger. I saw the whole, Red Scare going on and the execution of the Rosenbergs and people losing their jobs and not being able to work in movies because they at one point probably joined the Communist Party in 1930s. And that was the first time that I realized this wasn't a very nice country, you know? And then it has done nothing to prove itself otherwise in my entire life. So excuse me if I really don't love my country, okay? Because it has not done anything to earn my respect. And this is another case of it. Yep. Here is another case of it where the people who are voting in this country are assholes.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that scares me along those lines is 2026 midterms. You know, the Democrats can't seem to get one foot in front of the other. And I'm not so sure that they're going to take over the House or the Senate.
Well, you know, it's up to them to suddenly, you know, I think they should take a clue from Mondami here in New York.
Yeah.
Mondami, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly.
I know who you're talking about.
He kind of gave a template for how you win elections.
Yeah.
You know, and part of it is you can't do it the same way in the Midwest that he did it here in New York, different animals. But there's a major thing there where talk to the needs of the people.
Yep.
You know, if things are expensive, talk about, don't say you're going to bring the prices down, but you're going to try to make the prices come down. You know, and here in New York, he really won the election by just saying, I'm going to lower rents for everybody. But, you know, rents are just too damn high.
Yeah.
And it's funny, there was a guy who ran for mayor of New York years ago who created a party called the Rents Are Too Damn High Party.
Yeah.
Really?
Remember him? And this was an extension of that. That's all this guy said, you know.
Wasn't that Barry Farber?
No, but then now everybody's trying to, you know, say, oh, he believes in infatata and things like that, you know, and they're trying to throw everything at him. Trump calls him a communist, you know. I mean, come on. Give it to the guy, you know. And then we got Cuomo, this moron Cuomo, who I voted for. But okay, you lost Cuomo, and now go off, lick your balls, and go off into the sunset. You know?
Right.
You lost. We don't want you. Okay? I wanted you. I voted for you, but now I don't want you anymore. And what you're doing by staying in the race is you're watering down the Democratic base.
Absolutely.
And so what you're going to have is you're going to have Adams and Cuomo and this guy. And they're all going to be fighting for the same amount of votes.
Yep.
Which is the Democratic vote. And if Cuomo cared about the party, okay, forget about the people. If he cared about the party, he wouldn't run.
Yep.
You know.
He's going to run as an independent, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. So,
and you say Mayor Curtis Lewa?
Yes, I can say Mayor Curtis. Well, at least I know him, so I can, you know, probably go to his office and tell him, you suck. But, you know, I don't think he could win anyway. But somebody is going to win getting the majority of the votes. And hopefully maybe people will be pissed off enough now at Cuomo for spoiling the pie, you know. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, I agree. That's what my son says. Because he's a New Yorker now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like the idea that Cuomo's spoiling it.
Yeah, not at all. I think he voted for the, what do you call this guy's
name? Mondami.
Yeah, Mondami.
But
I was happy about that.
Yeah. But, and I didn't, and I feel bad about that, because once I listened to what he was proposing, I said I should have listened to this guy more, you know? But I just was kind of fond of Cuomo because I felt he saved my life during COVID here in this town. And, what the hell? You know?
You know, I left New York when I was 22 years old, so.
Where'd you go to when you left New York?
Well, the first place I went to was Seattle, Washington.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Stole a car and drove to Seattle.
Yes, that's what we found out about Jeff years ago, and of course, Alan won't forget it.
Oh, I dealt with stolen
Did you ever
cars.
Get busted for stealing that car? Did you just steal the
no.
car?
No.
Nope,
I never went to jail.
Never.
Got arrested.
Okay.
I got yelled at from cops once in a while.
Has anybody here ever been arrested?
Well, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you get arrested for?
I don't know if I want to say.
Was it really bad?
Oh. No, not really. I only spent one day in jail.
Oh, drunk driving?
No, I was never a drunk driver.
Oh.
I can't imagine what he spent one day in jail for. Couldn't have been that terrible. Okay, well. I bet after the show's over, your girlfriend's going to say, tell me about it.
Yes.
I think she knows about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I have no problem telling her.
I was never arrested, you know. Not that I didn't want to be. I mean, like in Chicago, I would have liked to have been arrested in the Chicago convention. I would have liked to have been, there's several demonstrations I went to here in New York. I wish I had been arrested. But I never got arrested. Never, don't have any of that on my.
Next time you go to one of those things, throw a Coke bottle at the police. Guaranteed you'll get arrested. Then you won't be able to say that anymore.
No, I went to a bunch of Vietnam War protests without being arrested.
I went to a protest in Times Square on New Year's Eve to protest the war in Vietnam and got kicked in the shins by the cops.
Nice.
So, you know, they weren't the ones getting kicked in the shins by me. Okay. So
Vietnam was
they were being nice to you. They said, no, he's a talk show host.
Well, that was a time here in New York where the New York City cops felt they could get away with anything. You know? and I hate to think that it's true, but, you know, they felt they could get away with anything. That's why I think that, you know, what's his name, got murdered. So,
that's one of the reasons I decided it was a good time to leave.
Why? Because of the cops?
No, because of Vietnam.
Because of Vietnam? Why did Vietnam make you leave where? New York?
Yeah, well, you know, some of my friends were got shot.
Really?
Yeah, you know, all that kind of stuff.
What, in demonstrations, are you saying?
No, they were in the war.
In the war.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
At that time, Oregon or Washington was not part of the United States, like leaving to Canada?
Actually, they
put Jeff
wanted
on.
Me to go there because I was developing atomic bomb equipment.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Oh, so you were considered usable.
Yes.
Yeah, something to the war effort or something like that.
Well, it was
the reason I never went to Vietnam was because I went to the into the Navy Reserve for 2 years. And when I got out, I was no longer subject to any kind of draft or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I had already served my time. It was a horrible time.
Yeah.
Again, should I be proud of America? Something like that I had to live through?
No.
No, you want to say, you want to say you love your country, but, you know. What were you going to say, Kevin?
Was that Hanford, Washington?
Oh.
In Washington?
Yeah. Is that where you were at? Seattle, okay.
Yeah, part of Boeing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so Boeing was working on the bomb?
Oh, yeah.
Parts of it.
He didn't say that. He said nuclear.
You think they just make airplanes?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, some parts came from everywhere.
Some of the missiles that were firing during bombing come from Boeing.
Yeah, we had special airplanes that had seven missiles in the back. And
B-52s.
Yeah.
Those are, the B stands for Boeing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
Hmm.
At the end. One of the reasons I refused the job with the CIA when they came calling was because of how they treated, you know, the world back in the 70s. I was certainly not proud of the U.S. back then.
We've been watching these little documentaries. These were like machines that made America, that built America, and so on and so forth. But now I found these little 20-minute ones that are called short documentaries that History Channel did. And they did one on Nabisco, the National Biscuit Company, right?
Yeah.
And how they came out with the Oreo. But they didn't invent that kind of cookie. You know, you remember who did?
No.
No.
We all think Nabisco. Oh, the Oreo. Oh, yeah. The Sunshine Biscuit Company. Remember Sunshine?
Oh, yeah.
They came out with a thing called, and you may remember this, Hydrox.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They still sell them, don't they?
I don't know. But I will say that they were the same. They were called Hydrox. And they were really, outside of the fact the shape wasn't round, it was kind of flowery shaped, like a flower petal. It's same thing, chocolate on the top, chocolate on the bottom, filling in the middle.
Yeah.
And so Nabisco, not having a product like that, decided to create a product like that.
That's so funny.
And they came out with the Oreo, which eventually eclipsed the Hydrox. I don't even know if they make Hydrox anymore.
Yeah, I thought Hydrox was a rip-off of Oreos.
No, not at all. Oh, hey.
Except Oreo tastes better.
Sounds like a drug.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Hydrox is a...
Yeah, I remember the Hydrox.
Is it injectable? Does it cure COVID?
No.
Cheaper version of the Oreo.
You know, it's not a cheaper version of the Oreo.
That's what
cheaper,
we thought it was.
A cheaper version of the Hydrox.
Right.
Now, when Kevin and I were kids, you could buy Hydrox in the supermarket.
Yeah.
We're like Oreos.
After the show's over, I'll have to look it up and see if they still exist. Anyway,
if they do exist on Amazon, you'll get some.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jeff. Nice seeing you here again tonight. I'm sure we'll see you again here tomorrow night. Thank you, Kevin. You look exhausted, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. I am. Moving furniture all day.
Oh,
by
God.
Myself.
God.
Bulletin baseboards. Yeah. Bunch of.
Thanks, of course, to Charlie, and also thanks to Alan, everybody. You know what you got to do? You got to give a big wave goodbye, and I'll give a big wave goodbye at you. Okay, there they go, ladies and gentlemen. That's our citizen panel for tonight. We'll have another one tomorrow night. There's also one coming right up with Amy Manuel and The Intersection. She'll be taking your calls on Zoom. Simply go to gabnet.net, go down to the third column all the way down to where it says Amy Manuel. Click on that, and it'll take you directly to her. I'll see you again tomorrow night, same time, same station in life. In the meantime, as always, if you see her, of course, tell her I love her, will you? Bye-bye, everybody. See you later.